Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For many people, I would guess that classical music might not be their favorite style of music. Now, some people do get really jazzed up at the idea of going to the symphony for the evening, but other people would find it hard to think of anything more boring than that. But regardless of what you personally might think about classical music, chances are that there probably are a number of pieces of classical music that you would recognize when you heard them, even if you're not familiar with the titles and composers. For example, you are probably familiar with Mozart's Eine kleine Nachtmusik, a little night music. And if that name doesn't sound familiar, go and look it up on YouTube afterwards, and you will find that it is very familiar. Or probably the opening notes of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, bum 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 bum, or Claude Debussy's Clair de Lune, The Light of the Moon. Or even if you don't recognize any snippet of all of those pieces, you certainly probably do recognize the most famous themes out of those longer musical works. Probably you've heard pieces of them in perhaps a music appreciation class in high school or college, or certainly movies and TV shows, commercials often make use of famous classical pieces of music. Well, another very famous piece of classical music that is often heard around Christmas time is Handel's Messiah with its famous Alleluia chorus. This famous piece of music is based mostly on the words from our text today from Revelation chapter 19. Now, Alleluia is a pretty familiar word for many of us because that's a word that we use a lot in our worship services and in many of our hymns. But actually, that word doesn't appear a whole lot in the Bible itself. In the New Testament, the word Alleluia is used just 4 times, and all of them right here in the verses of our text. And in the Old Testament, at least in the NIV translation that many of us are familiar with, that word doesn't appear at all because it's actually translated into English from the original Hebrew. In Hebrew, the word appears about 24 times, and only in the book of Psalms. Alleluia, or hallelujah, is a combination of 2 Hebrew words, hallelu, which means let us praise, and Yah, which is a short form of the word Yahweh, the name for God. When we say or sing Alleluia, we are joining with believers from centuries and millennia ago singing Praise the Lord. In our text for today, we see a glimpse of these believers in heaven, and we see that they also are singing Alleluia in their songs of praises to God. But in our lives, we don't always feel like singing or shouting Alleluia or Hallelujah, do we? When you're having yet another bad day at work, you probably don't feel like singing or shouting praise. When you're having yet another fight with your spouse or with your children or parents, you probably don't feel like singing. When it hurts so much that you just don't even want to get out of bed, you probably don't want to sing. When someone you love just lost their job because the company went bankrupt, or when you go to work every day wondering if that day will be the day that you get laid off, you don't feel very much like singing. There are a lot of times in our lives when Alleluia is just about the last thing that is likely to come out of our mouths. And that's pretty much exactly what the book of Revelation tells us is going to happen in these last days before the last day comes. Now, there's a lot of strange ideas out there in the world and even in some Christian churches about the book of Revelation. And sometimes some of those ideas can make people actually rather afraid of the message of the book of Revelation. But Revelation was actually written for our comfort, not to scare us or frighten us. One of the ways that Revelation comforts us is by putting our suffering into perspective. Now, God doesn't sugarcoat it when he says that we will have to go through trouble here in this life, on this earth. In fact, Revelation tells us that life for the church and for God's people won't always be easy. Here in this world, we are surrounded by the spiritual enemies of God, which make our lives difficult. In these verses, we hear John, who hears about the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality. In the Bible, unfaithfulness to God is often put in terms of marital unfaithfulness or sexual immorality, adultery. Revelation talks about the suffering that we will endure as a result of being people who are God's chosen people and who are sometimes at odds with other people who claim to be Christian, but in fact who have wandered away from the truth. We sometimes experience that, don't we? When someone ridicules us because of what they think that we teach about close communion, for example, or about the roles of men and women, or about God's will for sexuality, we might be told that we're intolerant, that we're unloving, that we're stuck in the past. And when we're challenged like that, we probably don't really feel like crying out in celebration or in praise. Rather, we cry out for relief and for help. And that's not the only reason that we cry out for help. We don't only suffer at the hands of others, but often our suffering is self-inflicted. We don't sing Alleluia as often as we should because often we're so busy looking at what we don't have that we don't realize all that we do have by God's grace. We can so easily find ourselves complaining about how little we have. Sometimes we don't praise God because we're overlooking all the things that we do have, for which we should praise and thank Him. But other times, the problem isn't that we're overlooking things, it's because we're all too aware of things. For example, when we're burdened by our sin, when we feel the weight of the guilt for the things that we have done wrong, when we feel the painful consequences in our lives of some of the sins that we have committed, then we also cry out in grief and despair. Life for the church on earth isn't easy, which is why we often call the church militant, because we are in battle every day, battling against our own sinful natures, battling against the spiritual forces of evil around us, the world with its temptations, and the devil and his evil angels. But in spite of all that, in spite of that spiritual warfare and those battles that take place every day, we can still sing Alleluia. We can still praise the Lord, no matter what might be happening in our lives. We can do that because of what God has made us. This Sunday in the church year is called Saints Triumphant. Kind of like that word Alleluia, the word saint is another word that is often misunderstood by people. There is often this idea that a saint is someone who is perfect, who never does or says anything wrong. And some churches teach that a saint is only a person who was really, really good in this life, and that they become a saint sometime after they die, and that supposedly they have done so many good things that they have extra credit, so to speak, that they can give to you if you pray to them for it. Well, by those definitions, I certainly am not a saint, and I'd guess that most of you are not either. But that's not how the Bible talks about saints. The Bible says that you are a saint, and so am I. not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done for us. When Jesus lived on the earth, he was living every single day of his life in our place, keeping every single one of God's laws for us. And when Jesus met that gruesome death on the cross, the worst part of it wasn't the whipping or the beating or the nails or the crown of thorns or the spear that pierced his side. The worst part was the things that we couldn't see happening. The judgment for the sins of the world that God was unleashing upon Jesus as he hung there on the cross. But since Jesus has died, all of those sins, all of our sins, are paid for. When God looks at his ledger book and he flips to the page with your name on it, he sees a picture of his own son, with a complete record of everything that Jesus ever did or said, perfectly according to God's will, counted as your record. He doesn't see a single one of the sins that you have committed because Jesus has wiped them all away. In God's book, you are a saint. And as a saint, you have God's promise that everything that happens to you in your life is for your good, that he will work it out for your good. So even when bad things happen in our lives, we can sing Alleluia, because we know that the result will not actually be a bad result for us. Everything that happens, God works out for our good. Now, we may not always understand that as those events are playing out in our lives, but that's exactly what God promises. So while we go through the trials and the sufferings and the difficulties of this life, while we are still part of this church militant, we can sing Alleluia because of what Jesus has done for us and because of what God is still doing for us. Anticipation isn't really a bad thing. It's not always fun to be waiting for something to arrive or waiting to receive something that you really, really want. In fact, it's good to have something to wait for, to look forward to. Many long days at school or at work have been made easier and shorter by having something to look forward to later that evening. That hope, that anticipation, can get people through a lot of rough stretches in their lives. But at the same time, anticipation is nothing like the real thing. This time of year, kids love making wish lists for Christmas. That's fun, but it's nowhere near as fun as actually tearing open the presents on Christmas morning. And that's kind of like where we are now. As the church militant, we can sing our Alleluias now because of everything that Jesus has done for us and because of everything that God has promised to us. But that is nothing compared to the sound of the Alleluia that we will sing when we actually receive and realize the fulfillment of those promises of God, when we join the church triumphant in heaven. All those people before the throne of God, did you notice what they were wearing? It says, referring to the church, God's people, she was given bright, clean, fine linen to wear. White robes. We see them again and again in the book of Revelation. We are reminded that in the Bible, white is always a symbol of purity, a symbol of holiness. And so today we see that as saints of God, we are wearing those white robes. God reveals to us in Revelation, the fine linen is the not guilty verdicts pronounced on the saints. And that makes perfect sense. Before we can approach God's throne in heaven, Jesus dresses us up. He prepares us for that wedding feast. He wraps us up in the perfection that he won for us. He clothes us with the declaration that we are not guilty for all of our sins. And so, wearing that white robe of perfection, we enter the glories of heaven. And that's where we'll spend all eternity. We often think about what we will do in heaven for all eternity. And sometimes we might look at descriptions like the one before us in our reading today, and we think, we'll be singing praises to God forever? That sounds like a church service that never ends, which is probably something that we might not get many people to sign up for, at least not in this life. But let's put that into perspective. We will be before the throne of God. We will see God face to face. Where today we are separated somewhat from God because of sin and its effects, those barriers in heaven will be completely removed forever. All the effects of sin, no more death, no more sadness, no more mourning, no more suffering or crying or pain. Instead, we will be directly in God's presence. What better thing could we do than to sing Alleluia? Praise the Lord. We've finally been given release from everything that causes us pain and suffering. We've been reunited with all of our Christian loved ones that have been separated from us by death. And we're able to see God, to speak face to face with Jesus, our dear Savior. That sure sounds like reason to sing Alleluia. That's what we look forward to in heaven. And that's what we can do right now while we wait. We can join with believers from all time, from centuries ago and from centuries yet to come, joining with saints on earth and all the hosts of heaven to sing that eternal Alleluia. Amen.